What's up, my friends? My name is Calvin Corelli. I'm going to talk today about health and how to build your body. I see a lot of people really struggle with this. I struggled for many years, and I want to help you out because I figured some things out that I don't see out there. A lot of the health fitness stuff is very like bro stuff, like, yeah, get up at 5 and train and lift weights. Most people, that's not really our goal. Our goal is not to be the fittest, strongest, whatever guy on the planet. As guys, we think that, oh my God, if I had that body, all the women would swoon over me. The reality is that most women don't care. We really do it more for other guys than we do it for the women. Long story. But I used to hate working out. Working out felt like punishment. It felt like something someone was doing to me. If I could just live my life, eat whatever I wanted, drink alcohol, whatever I wanted, and work and play and whatever, but never have to exercise and work out, I would be a happy camper. That would be my sweet spot. And boy, has that changed. But it didn't change until I figured out a few core pieces. And those are what I'm going to give to you today. In the beginning, I worked with a trainer, and he was like, I hired a trainer, and he made me work out 3 hours a week. I worked with him. And I was like, at the end of that hour, I was like, oh my God, I'm so done. I'm toast. I'm beat. And then at one point, one of my mentors, he looked at me. He's a former karate champion. He's trained, I think, 700 body therapists. Quite an impressive guy. His name is Andrew. And he looked at me and was like, brother, if you want the body that you say that you do, you need to work out way more than that. And I'm like, how much? And then he was like, 8 hours a week. And I was like, you got to be fucked. Shitting me, like 8 hours a week. That's insane. How can anybody work out for 8 hours a week? When Andrew gave me that challenge to work out 8 hours a week, I was like, all right, I'm up for it. I'm always up for a challenge. Like, all right, let's do it. Let's see what happens. And so what I did was really effective. And it was something that I came up with on the fly, but in retrospect, it was really brilliant. It was really smart. I didn't know it at the time. It wasn't really intentionally smart, but it was. And here was the system that I came up with. Because he said 8 hours a week, I decided, let's do 8 hours a week. And I don't want to cheat. You know how you can be like, yeah, I was in the gym for an hour, but it was really 45 minutes. What was it? How many? So I was like, all right, we're going to track this by the minute. I'm going to use my Apple Watch. We're going to start it. We're going to stop it. I have to hit 8 hours every week. If I get behind 1 week, I have to catch up the next week. So this was important because otherwise I would just be like, yeah, oh, I missed this week, but I'll do better next week. No, you actually have to make up for what you missed the previous week. So there's no wiggle rooms. I don't feel like it today. I'm traveling, so I have an excuse. I'm feeling a little sick. I'm feeling a little tired. I didn't sleep well. Whatever. All those excuses, that's fine. You can take a day off. You can take 5 days off if you will. But you still got to hit the 8 hours for the week. And so I created the spreadsheet where I carry the balance every single week. And so I'll be behind by an hour week one. Guess what? Next week, I'm going to be behind. And if I'm behind by an hour the next week, after that, I'm getting behind by 2 hours, and just keeps accumulating. But what you can also do is you can work ahead. If you have more time 1 week because you know you're going to be traveling the next week, you can work ahead so you have some buffer. So now you can take a little bit of a slacker week and only do 5 hours, for example. That in itself is pretty revolutionary because it eliminates all excuses, all BS, all negotiating with yourself. And that's, I think that's such a crucial point is we will get into negotiating with ourselves so much and it'll waste so much of your energy. Rule number two, no personal trainer. Because what happened before is that I would outsource this to a trainer. I would outsource my authority issues. I'd be like, oh no, like you make me do this and I don't want to do it. And I'd play up again. I have this whole thing. I don't want to do this. You make me do this, all that stuff, which is not helpful because you're doing this for you. You're not doing this to you and nobody's doing it to you. It's something that you choose to do for yourself as a way to love on yourself because it feels good. It's hard, but it feels good. That was one of the phrases that my mentor, Andrew, said. He says, yes, it's hard, but it feels good. Because I was like, oh, but it's hard. I don't like it. And he's, yeah, it's hard, but it feels good. It's such an important thing. everything great in life is on the other side of hard. It could challenge you in some way. I go do whole body cryo up here and it's cold. It's cold. It's hard, but I feel amazing after. And I'll work really hard on some feature and then it's so challenging, get all the details right, and then boom, it's done. It just feels amazing. I'll work really hard on some food or something and I really invest myself into it and then it feels great on the other side. Gym, health, exercise is the same thing. No trainer, no outsourcing stuff to others, no projecting your authority issues, your daddy issues onto a trainer. You're doing it for you. You take ownership. Most people want to outsource their health to someone else, a trainer, a doctor, some authority, whatever. You can't. It's yours. You can't outsource your life, your purpose, your relationships. You can't outsource any of that stuff to anyone. This is you. You have to take ownership of that. No, I don't have health insurance. I don't need Western doctors. What the fuck are they going to do? Yeah, if I break an arm or like if I break my skull, maybe they can patch it back together. But that's literally the only thing that I need a traditional doctor for. I'm not going to put drugs in my body. I'm not going to cut my body. I'm going to find ways to heal naturally. The body is the only thing that can heal the body. So I don't need that stuff. Plus, the whole thing is so corrupt, especially in America. It's insane. As I was saying, number two, no trainer. Number three, make it fun. I had this thing where there's a part of me that was like, we ought to do this. We need to do this. Or really, like the grown-up version of that is I choose to do this for me. But there's just still this little boy in me that was like pissed that he had to do this work. Oh, I don't want to do it. Like my dad, he made me cycle and he made me play golf and all this bullshit. And I was like, man, I don't want to do this. So what I did in my head was I took that little boy, little Calvin, by the hand, and then I'd be like, you and I, we're going to go in here and lift weights or cycle or swim or whatever it was, and we're going to make it fun. We're going to have fun together. It's going to be a father-son moment together. Just me and my inner, little inner boy. No, like, real-life physical boy, just my inner boy. And it was such a game changer because it was like, we're doing this together. We're doing this for us. It's not this internal fight that oftentimes we have, right? I don't do it. You have to do it. Like we're battling inside, like the adult and the kid. And really, it's not even really a real adult, a healthy, mature adult, because if it was, they would be like, hey, come kiddo, let's do this. But it's like one kid trying to pretend to be an adult, being like the internalized voice of the parents who are like, you have to do this, clean up your room, like whatever. And then the part of us that's, no, I don't want to do that. Like, so it's really two kids fighting inside, right? What we want to be is the mature grown adult saying, hey, I choose to do this for us. The point here is like, stick with a standard, right? Pick a standard that you can, that works for you. You don't, like, it's taken me years to get to this place. So maybe your standard starts a little bit less, but go beyond. Start with the 8-hour thing and just go beyond and just do 8 hours a week because it's going to completely rewire you. I remember when I started doing some calisthenics program from a guy named Adam Freiter, who's insane. If you look at his body, it's amazing. And it was a ton of push-ups was part of it. And it was like 50 push-ups and then doing cycles of like push-ups and jump squats. What are they called? I forget. And burpees and those kinds of things. But there's a ton of push-ups. And I was like, I didn't know I could do that many push-ups. But by going from, oh, 10 is a lot to now doing just 50, it was like, oh, crap. Like, whole different ballgame. Like, it wasn't 50 in one go, but it completely stretched it was like, I forget exactly. But I ended up doing like hundreds of push-ups in a training. And it reset my baseline for what's a lot or a little. Right? Whoa, I can do way more than I thought I could. So that is the basis of the moving your body. There's a lot more we could get into, but if you commit to that 8 hours a week and just do something at a time that works for you, it's best if it's the same time every day, works better. And then once you've done the 8 hours a week for, I'd say at least a couple months, I did it for 16 months with the spreadsheet, but 2 months in, I was hooked. I'd say continue it. Just continue that for a year and let me know how you feel after that. The second piece that's really helped me is intermittent fasting. It's the discipline of just saying, hey, I'm going to eat through during a time window of whatever it is. It can be 1 hour, 2 hours, it can be 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, whatever. But you set a limit and you say, these are the number of hours in a day that I'm going to let myself eat. And outside of that window, I'm not going to eat any calories. And I really like the discipline of that. It's an easy way to control my intake, to just not eat too much. It makes me think about what I do eat, because I'm like, if I'm going to eat something, I don't want to eat crap. Sometimes I go on a plane and I'm like, I don't want to eat this shit. This is not fun. It's not nurturing. I'd rather keep. So what will happen is I'll close my eating window. And the earlier I close the eating window, the earlier I can start eating the next day. And so now I'm on a plane and they serve me something, some food that's not that exciting. And then I'm like, do I want to postpone my eating tomorrow morning by another 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever it is, so that I can eat this meal? And usually the answer is, well, depends what the answer is, but sometimes the answer is no, sometimes yes, right? But now there's that discipline of thinking through what it's going to cost me to do this. And it's not counting calories, I've never done that. It doesn't appeal to me at all. It's just being aware of the timing consequences of it. So I really like that. So if you haven't played with intermittent fasting, highly recommend that you try it out and you see how that feels. You can just start at a pretty like 12-12 or something like that, but just get into the habit of the discipline. I've been doing 16-8 with my wife for a couple months now. I've done like thousands of days of fasting over the years, and including longer fasts. And what happens is that it just becomes pretty, for me anyway, becomes pretty easy. My wife gets more hangry with it. And she's just had a call this morning with a nutritionist who's, yeah, you probably want to extend that window, the eating window, because the way your metabolism works, we actually really need to get some more proteins, some more calories, some more nutrients in there. She's going to do that. So do what works for you, but play around with it. If you haven't yet, just test it out, play around with it. I'm using an app called Zero, which I really enjoy. It just makes it easy for me to track. Wait, I broke my fast a while back. Let me fix that. Started, finished. Let me see here. I broke it like 9 something. Let's just say 9 a.m. Fine. Yeah, so it lets me track and I just start the fast and then it keeps track of how many hours and count down and all that good stuff. It's not very advanced, but it's nice to have. What I also wanted to say about health is, and I'm talking more about the movement and diet, right? Is what I'm doing now is I'm combining weight and PaFi. I mentioned PaFi before. I think everybody should be doing PaFi. Even when I do weights, I do the PaFi warm-up, which is like 10, 15 minutes. Opens up all the joints, starting with your big toe, which most people overlook, all the way up to your neck. So you're nice and warm in the whole body before you get into lifting weights. So I'll do legs one day, I'll do uppers another, just both push and pull and bicep and tricep and shoulders and lats and all that stuff all in one day. And then I'll do PaFi and then I'll do legs and then I'll do uppers and I'll just cycle through those 3 days. And so it doesn't fit with a week. Who cares? Weeks are like 7 days. It's an odd number. But I'll just cycle through that, yeah? And sometimes I'll switch it up a little bit. I was in Copenhagen. I got to do PaFi live classes. And so then I just had a little bit more PaFi for a few days. It's all fine. Stretching and foam rolling is also a big part of my routine. You can do a lot with a foam roller where you really get into, I'm going to try and show here, but here's where the liver is, I think. Yeah, on the right here. And your stomach, I think, is over here. And so you can do different exercises with the foam roller where you really get to massage your organs, which is really helpful. Your gut as well, in your digestive organs, your intestines, all that stuff. So you can really get in there with the foam roller. It's really powerful. I do that almost every night. It's been very helpful as well. In general, health starts in the mind. I like to say that you don't get obese in your body unless you're first obese in your mind. And that might have started very early on, but there is whatever health issues you're facing is an extension of what happens in your mind. So what we believe and the vibration that we have is going to materialize and manifest in our life as what we experience. All matter is just protons and electrons and positrons and neutrons and whatnot that are vibrating and kept in some sort of state together, right? That's all it is. So everything is downstream from vibration. And your body is the same. If you have certain health challenges, you need to look at the mind first. So if you don't get that in order, you can work as much as you want, but it's going to be uphill. It's going to be upstream. It's going to be like you're fighting against the energy of it, the vibration of it, versus if you get the vibration aligned, now you're still taking action. Results still come from you taking action, but now the action is going to be inspired, is going to feel effortless. That's the point. And it's the same with health. It's the same with fucking everything that you want. So understand that. And I am not a doctor, and don't take medical advice from me and all of that stuff, because only trust licensed professional doctors and health care professionals who, in my mind, don't know shit about health and definitely aren't into caring. But those are obviously the guys that you need to listen to. Don't listen to me about any of this stuff. But this is what I have done. This is what works for me. This is my current routine is 16-8 intermittent fasting and working out PAFI, upper legs, working out every day of the week, first thing in the morning. I also do sauna and whole body cryo and red light therapy and supplements and a bunch of other things. But this is the core of it. And I think it's such a simple way that if you do that and you just monitor how you're doing, if your goal is to lose fat, or I don't like to say lose, because when you lose something, you want it back. But if your goal is to change your body composition so that you have more muscle and less fat and keep it that way and make it sustainable, to me, this is a really good way to do it. You know, intermittent fasting to help make sure. The other thing that happens supposedly with intermittent fasting, it's debatable. There's so much. The science on this stuff is crazy hard and inconclusive. There are studies that show that intermittent fasting, the longer fast periods, is going to burn more fat. But there are also people who say it's completely bogus and the only reason it works is because you just consume less calories. There are people who say calories in, calories out. That's how you need to be a caloric deficit in order to lose, to let go of, to drop, get rid of body fat. But also what actually determines how much you burn, like whether those extra calories get stored as fat or just burned up through, I think they call it thermogenesis, through the body just getting warmer. Like what determines that? Maybe the mind, maybe the energy, maybe the vibration, I don't know. Yeah. So there's so much to it that's so unclear. If I was in charge, I would be like, everybody needs to exercise. Everybody has a body. Everybody needs to be healthy. Everybody needs to eat. Like, why don't we have some really solid studies on this so that we understand what is the best way to eat for humans? And there are probably some different categories. There is the Asian systems, Chinese systems, Indian systems, Korean systems, whatever, for different body types. Let's try to see if we can figure out which system is actually most accurate and useful and what works best for people and do it in a long-term study. I would think that would be one of the, if the government is wasting $1 trillion, like Rand Paul said, on all kinds of bullshit, like this would actually be something to spend, just say $1 billion on studying this. It doesn't cost that much, but nobody cares because everybody profits from everybody being sick, which is why you need to take care of your own health. And so got lost in that one. So the point was, what was the point I was making here? The point I was making was that, yeah, there's like the study, the science, but is so, like they do all these studies that have 40 participants. But the thing is that it's, you can study one thing, but how does it interoperate with this other thing and this thing? And when you put it all together, like how does it all, with the mind, with what happens, remote influences and all that, it gets really hard to really know, and none of it's for certain. And maybe that's just how it is. I think we could get a lot closer to something that was like generically pretty solid, but anyway, we're not there. Intermittent fasting and weights and working out 3 days a week, and it's a really good baseline. I think that was where I was coming to. So if you do that, you're going to be way ahead of most people and you're going to have a good routine. And a good routine, a good baseline is really helpful. And then as you do it, notice the thoughts and the limiting beliefs and all that stuff that comes up and work through it. So if it's, why do I have to do this? And I shouldn't have blah, blah, blah. That's a belief. That's a story. Is that true? Rewrite it. And we can, I'll do some other content about how to rewrite your stories and beliefs and all that stuff. But that is, let me just make a note about that. Rewriting beliefs and stories. I make sure that I do that later. But this is the game, my friends. I love setting a standard and sticking with it. And then just everything that comes up, all the blocks, the resistance, all that stuff is there for me to work through. It's not a bug. It's, this is why I haven't achieved this yet. So one of my early teachers, Sophia, she said, there's only two steps to stopping any addiction. Number one, stop the behavior. And number two, deal with the feelings that come up. You're only doing the behavior, whether the addiction is to skip working out and lie on the couch, or whether the addiction is to smoke or bite your nails or drink alcohol or stay up late with Netflix and not get enough sleep, or the addiction is to judge yourself and criticize yourself. I've had that. Holy shit. Who else has had that addiction to self-criticism or judging and criticizing others or getting angry? It can be an addiction. Once you notice that you have an addiction, stop the behavior and just deal with the feelings that come up. There's some feeling that the addiction is covering up. And if you can just be present with those feelings, then you won't need the addiction anymore. That's the secret to any addiction. So same thing here, set a standard. This is what I'm gonna do now. I'm gonna break my addiction to not working out, to not taking care of my body. And I'm going to do it by doing 16-8 intermittent fasting and working out every morning for at least, or no, fuck that. Do the 8 hours a week. 8 hours a week and 16-8 intermittent fasting. And then I'm going to deal with whatever feelings come up. I'm going to do it, but it's okay to do it and be crying. That's okay. That's totally okay. Because once you start moving your body in new ways, like, there are reasons why you haven't moved your body in this way. Like, your body and mind is linked. Katie Hendricks has this creative joint play that she does. Move all your joints and all your muscles in new ways, and it opens up your mind. But as you exercise, you might find that some of these movements are really provocative, where you're like, oh shit, it really brings up some deep wounds, some deep pain, some deep hurt. That's okay. It's how it's supposed to be. It doesn't mean back off there. It means go into it more. Go into the emotional part of it. See what it is that wants to be met. And oftentimes you don't need to know a story. It can just be like, oh, this thing comes up and I'm just going to sit there. Hand on my heart, hand on my belly. I like that. And just close my eyes for a second. Feel the pain, feel the tears. Just allow it to be without trying to change it. I used to go to this thing called The Class with Taryn Toomey here in Manhattan. And it's a lot of loud music and movements and all that. And I noticed that she would, some of these things would really bring up some emotions. And I'd just be taking a moment to just sit there and cry. She has these beautiful pauses where you sit and you just breathe, or sometimes you just sit and hold. And there would be good opportunities for me to just sit and feel what was coming up for me. And it was a beautiful process. And it's totally normal. It's good work. Keep doing the work. Keep doing the good work. You got this. You got this. You absolutely got this. God made you to move and be healthy in every way, to be fit and slim and strong, feel amazing, have great energy. I'm looking forward to seeing your incredible progress. You got this. You absolutely got this. Love you. See you in the next vid.